The Three Musketeers, Volume 3 of the first volume of the D'Artagnan series by Alexandre Dumas, Père, and read by Paul Ansdell for Saga Egmont. Chapter 36, Dream of Vengeance. That evening, Milady gave orders that when Monsieur D'Artagnan came as usual, he should be immediately admitted, but he did not come. The next day, Kitty went to see the young man again, and related to him all that had passed on the preceding evening. D'Artagnan smiled. This jealous anger of Milady was his revenge. That evening, Milady was still more impatient than on the preceding evening. She renewed the order relative to the Gascon, but as before, she expected him in vain. The next morning, when Kitty presented herself at D'Artagnan's, she was no longer joyous and alert as on the two preceding days, but on the contrary, sad as death. D'Artagnan asked the poor girl what was the matter with her, but she, as her only reply, drew a letter from her pocket and gave it to him. This letter was in Milady's handwriting, only this time it was addressed to Monsieur D'Artagnan and not to Monsieur de Wardes. He opened it and read as follows: Dear Monsieur D'Artagnan, it is wrong thus to neglect your friends, particularly at the moment you are about to leave them for so long a time. My brother-in-law and myself expected you yesterday and the day before, but in vain. Will it be the same this evening? Your very grateful, Milady Claric. That's all very simple, said D'Artagnan. I expected this letter. My credit rises by the fall of that of the Comte de Wardes.
And will you go? Asked Kitty. Listen to me, my dear girl, said Gascon,
who sought for an excuse in his own eyes for breaking the promise he had made Athos.
You must understand, it would be impolitic not to accept such a positive invitation. Milady, not seeing me come again, would not be able to understand what could cause the interruption of my visits, and might suspect something. Who could say how far the vengeance of such a woman would go?
Oh, my God, said Kitty. You know how to represent things in such a way that you are always in the right. You are going now to pay your court to her again. And if this time you succeed in pleasing her in your own name and with your own face, it will be much worse than before.
Instinct made poor Kitty guess a part of what was to happen. D'Artagnan reassured her as well as he could, and promised to remain insensible to the seductions of Milady. He desired Kitty to tell her mistress that he could not be more grateful for her kindnesses than he was, and that he would be obedient to her orders. He did not dare to write for fear of not being able, to such experienced eyes as those of Milady, to disguise his writing sufficiently. As 9 o'clock sounded, D'Artagnan was at the Place Royale. It was evident that the servants who waited in the antechamber were warned, for as soon as D'Artagnan appeared, before even he had asked if Milady were visible, one of them ran to announce him.
"Show him in," said Milady in a quick tone, but so piercing that D'Artagnan heard her in the antechamber.
He was introduced.
"I am at home to nobody," said Milady. "Observe, to nobody."
The servant went out.
D'Artagnan cast an inquiring glance at Milady. She was pale and looked fatigued, either from tears or want of sleep. The number of lights had been intentionally diminished, but the young woman could not conceal the traces of the fever which had devoured her for 2 days. D'Artagnan approached her with his usual gallantry. She then made an extraordinary effort to receive him, but never did a more distressed countenance give the lie to a more amiable smile. To the questions which D'Artagnan put concerning her health, she replied, "Bad. Very bad."
"Then," replied he, "my visit is ill-timed. You no doubt stand in need of..."